Why is it the same repetitive mistakes continue to rob salespeople of more commission checks, regardless of industry, size of company, or region of the globe? These same inhibitors are holding us back from reaching our full potential. Amongst many industry awards, Ian Selby achieved the accolade of top salesperson in the world at Apple. And in this podcast, he will discuss the issues that sales professionals encounter from his own experiences, confessing to the problems he has endured and how he overcame them, giving the benefit of his wisdom to everyone listening who work in the world of sales. To help you, he will reveal strategies to overcome the issues hurting salespeople and helping you reach new levels of sales success. Confessions of a Sales Pro. Less sins, more wins. With your host, Ian Selby.
Welcome to Confessions of a Sales Pro. My very special guest this week is a gentleman by the name of Ryan Staley, CEO of Whale Boss in Chicago. Ryan is the founder and CEO of Whale Boss, where he helps technology founders grow from 1 million to 30 million through the principles he used to achieve the same results personally. A proven method, folks. Ryan has taught over 800 chief revenue officers, VPs, and leaders his proprietary enterprise sales framework for startups and some very well-known companies such as Google, Amazon, Web Services, Stripe, Salesforce.com, and Uber, just to name a few. Ryan, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the podcast today.
Yeah, man, I really appreciate being on, Ian. This could be fun.
I know you're busy with your business, setting new records and doing all fabulous things. So thanks on behalf of all the listeners for taking the time to be with us today. I love to hear about success stories and trends in the market and lots of the things that's going on that are moving targets for all of us in the world of business growth, sales, marketing, etc. Can you tell our listeners a little bit, Ryan, how leveraging ChatGPT and other AI can explode their software as a service sales and marketing growth? I know that's one of your areas of expertise. How can they leverage that to get the same kind of success you've had?
Yeah, no problem. And it's a great question, man. What I would say is I kind of got slapped in the face with AI when I was talking to a founder, I was talking to Chris Savage over at Wistia, and this was all the way back in November of last year, and he's like, yeah, there's this app out called DALL-E, which is like you could type in words and it creates pictures. And I was like, okay, that's really interesting. So I started playing with it, and I was playing with it, showing up my kids, and my daughter's in art, so started exploring that, and we were playing with it. I'm like, oh, this is really cool. And then I started looking at into ChatGPT as well and got sucked in just based on the interest and use cases. I'm like, okay, I'm going to experiment with this. And then to take it from there, you know, I started paying more attention to the market. I paid attention to folks that are billionaires or have billion-dollar valuation companies, and one of the consistent trends that they were saying is, hey, this is going to be the single biggest change to humanity ever. And the reason being is because it's going to change the way we interact as in the workforce with jobs, but also it's happening faster than anything that we've ever experienced before. And so once I heard that I'm like, hey, okay, I really need to pay attention to this. And so I'm in the midst of working through, and I've been dedicating a couple hours of every day, kind of inclusive of work or outside of work, to leveraging, understanding, whether it be ChatGPT, Midjourney, other tools that are in AI, and how to leverage it. And so there's been some amazing use cases that I've been blown away with. And I'll give you an example of one, especially since this is related to sales. So I built out an entire sales organization with the comp structure, the training, the metrics, the management system, recruitment, as well as a tech stack, with a tech stack under $300. I did that whole entire process in 20 minutes.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. And so like that just illustrates the power of it. So that's one example in terms of like what's possible. And so that's an example of one use case. Another one that I think is, and this is more simpler, right? But, you know, I was looking at leveraging a service for content for social media, specifically for video. And, you know, the quote I was getting was about $600 a month, which isn't super crazy, right? Well, after doing some research and because I'm involved in the different AI circles with different people, I realized that there's a tool that could do this. And basically that job that took 24 hours to get the content back, edited and everything like that, or 48 hours for $600 a month. Basically, I was able to get done for $50 a month and get it back in like 15 minutes. So those are just a couple examples to illustrate like what's possible and why it's important to look at right now.
Truly amazing, Ryan. I mean, look at the stats. I mean, 20 minutes to build out the whole stack for a sales organization, for the training, for everything. 20 minutes. That's like 2 months' work in human time, right?
And wow.
Then finding something that's online for $600 a month, you got it for $50, and you had it in 15 minutes. Truly like, wow. That's moving the needle big time. And I know there's a lot of CEOs of SaaS, software as a service companies, CEOs that are looking to grow things, to cause a bulge in their revenue growth. And you've helped many of them, as stated in your intro. In your own experience, because we can always learn from other people's mistakes, right? So what are the biggest mistakes software as a service CEOs make when trying to multiply their largest and best customers, in your experience, because you've seen it firsthand?
Yeah, so I mean, it's a great question, Ian. And so there's a couple of things. I think, and it's funny because I was speaking at a SaaS event. This is last month, so this is in March. And one of the questions I asked is, I'm like, okay, how many people in the room know what their annual contract value is, the average annual contract value that they have? And pretty much every single SaaS executive in the room, there's about 45 people raised their hands. Okay. And then I asked this next question, and this is a question that surprisingly only one person out of 45 could answer. So this is how I know it's a big mistake, because only one out of 45 people could answer. And it was transformative with basically multiplying the deal size that we had year over year by two, and then 100x-ing our largest deal size. And the question was, what is your single biggest, or I should say, what is your ACV of your top 20% of your customer base? And the reason why that's critical to know, and people didn't answer it, and the reason why is because they're not focused on it, is because that contrives of usually, it could be anywhere from 60 to 80% of your revenue from the top 20% of your customers, you know, applying Pareto's principle. So if that's equating for that much revenue and you're not laser focused on that customer profile, which I call the perfect customer profile instead of the ideal customer profile, you are going to miss out on an exponential amount of growth that doesn't cost anything except for focus and attention. You don't need to hire for it. And it's just about targeting. So that's one of the big mistakes that I see with that. And then the other one that I'm really, really passionate about is systemizing customer to prospect referrals. And that's a big mistake because the companies will have these large contracts with organizations. The rep and their team will spend anywhere from 6 months to 18 months, 24 months building relationships, but they're not harvesting those relationships to create repeatable pipeline. And so that's one of the things that I help people set up as well, so that they could systemize it and count on it as a repeatable form of pipeline.
Huge point, Ryan, what you mentioned there, like systemizing the prospecting. Making it not an accident. There's just lots of different ways to do it. There's online, there's in person, there's the phone, there's email, there's chat, GPT, there's lots of ways to be reaching out and nurturing prospects. And I love what you said about our very best prospects are our existing customers. What are we doing to make sure we nurture those relationships ongoing? Because that's where the big part of our revenue is going to come from is the repeatability, right? So
exactly.
Having
yeah.
a repeatable pipeline is so critical for sustained growth. You don't want to be a one hit or a 1 year wonder where you have this blip and then, you know, you're too busy celebrating everything was so great that you forgot about what are we going to do next year, right? So you need systems, you need dedication and intention to make that a reality. I love what you said about that. So, you know, it's interesting, like 0 from 30, right? We talk about cars, 0 to 60, how many seconds? Well, 0 to 30 million in annual recurring revenue. You did that, my friend, in 5.5 years with 4 salespeople. So, first of all, congratulations. I think that's neck-break speed in sales. Like, I don't know anyone else who's done it that quickly. There's probably a few out there. You might know more than I do, but how did you grow your software as a service company with in that record amount of time with only 4 salespeople? What are some of the secrets that you could share with our listeners today, Ryan?
Yeah, no problem. So it actually wasn't software as a service. It was a managed services company that also had software included in it, right? So just minor point of clarification. But so I would say there's really 3 principles. And the first one that I think is critical, well, there's probably more than 3 principles, but I'll give you 3 principles here. So the first one was what I just mentioned, is that perfect customer profile. Like, we were ecstatic, but I don't want to say neurotic, because that sounds kind of negative, but we were obsessed with looking at that on a annual basis at the very least. And I leveraged that as a rep, and it took me from hitting 100% of my quota, working 56 hours a week, to working, I would say probably 20 hours less than that and hitting 130% of my quota. So once I saw that as a rep, I knew that I needed to apply it for my team. And then what it did is we vertical the horizontal. So what I mean by that is, once we looked through that and discovered what the makeup of that top 20% was, and I see this as clients that I work with all the time, is even though it's a horizontal solution, we'll notice that they have a disproportionate amount of their revenue attributed to like 3 different verticals or 4 different verticals, even though they could sell to anybody, right? So by getting hyper niche in those, or hyper focused and specific with messaging, enablement, and just talk track and really understand the business in those 3 verticals, it causes explosive revenue. So I would say that's one. Another one is I created basically my own like selling methodology, and I call it the whale selling system for enterprise accounts. And so what we did for that was really looked at what I see companies focus on is the sales process, the sales execution. But the third area that I don't see in any is really the sales strategy. And so that's more the orchestration of emotions, politics, from an enterprise level and an individual level in terms of how people are motivated, compensated, and evaluated, right? So that's the second one. And then the third one, we did a really good job of event-led growth and referrals. So because we knew our verticals really, really like down cold, we then got into the niche associations with our target decision makers, which were CIOs or CFOs, right? Kind of in that range. And what we did is we got deep in at the board level of those associations and then systemized referrals into other organizations that were tightly connected with people at the board level that led to really great growth, brand recognition, and in other areas. So those are the 3 kind of core elements, if I had to simplify it down, that we focused on and that have yielded really good results.
Amazing. I mean, I love what you said about customer profile across the team. So the top 20% with hyper messaging. And then the second principle, as you mentioned, Ryan, with a selling methodology focused on the enterprise with event-led growth. You know, find out who your decision-making criteria is, who are the personas, and make it a niche. Like, actually go downtown with it. Don't just like think about it. Do it. Like, execute on it. And you mentioned that one of the sweetest words in the world of selling that you and I know agree on, it's called referrals. And you know, it might take 100 cold calls to get 10 into the pipe and maybe 1 or 2 into the close section. And that's kind of normal math for the world of traditional selling. But with referrals, as we both know, 4 referrals are probably 3 meetings and 1 or 2 deals. So you want more referrals than anything else. So my next question for you, Ryan, is about that. Mm-hmm. How do you unlock the referral-led growth to create prospects that close in half the amount of time at 150% conversion rate? Like, there's some magic in this formula of yours, Ryan. Please share it with us.
Yeah, man. So and it's going to be hard to break down everything, but I can give you a teaser of like our high level. So you really look at like successful referral programs. They've been done in a lot of areas outside of like tech sales. They've been done successfully in tech sales as well. However, there's core components to it. So I would say the core components are, right, the incentives. A lot of companies think that cash is the best way to do it, and it's usually the worst way to do it because people feel dirty or it conflicts with their company policy. So incentives is one of the areas, and this is going to sound counterintuitive, but what I've seen work really well is when you give people something first instead of just asking them for a referral and then giving them something, because there's the reciprocity bias, which Robert Cialdini talks about in his book Persuasion, specifically embedded in there, that people feel obligated to help you out. So that's incentives. I think peaks in process are the other key areas to look at. Most folks focus on, or sometimes, I would say not most, I would say maybe 10% of the time people actually have a process for it, right? So having a sustainable process, just like you would a normal sales process, is a big part of it. Because if you think of it this way, you know, like if you had a sales motion and there was no process to it, the effectiveness goes in the toilet, right? Same with referral programs. So that's the second one. And then, you know, the other thing are peaks. And what I mean by that are, what are the emotional peaks that your customer is going through and experiencing through the buyer process, and then hitting them when they're at that emotional peak and lining it up with an actual process. So those are what I would say are the three core key elements to systemizing referrals. And there's multiple areas. It could be internal referrals for expansion and cross-sell, or it could be external net new logo referrals as well. So those are just a couple of examples.
Great examples, Ryan. I love the first thing you talked about with the notion of reciprocity, right? Like incentives, give first, the pay it forward kind of mentality, that if you can create some value before you ask for anything, it creates curiosity and you know, it sticks out. It's different than what the average referral program is trying to do. If you give us, we'll give you. You're turning that upside down. You're saying, here's what we're doing for you. And if you feel like it, you could do this for us, right? So it's more of a trusting model. And I love that there's a process underneath it. You're right. Without a sales process, it's like going into a game without a playbook. How are you going to play? What are you going to do? Well, so you got to have a process, sales or referral programs. And then finding those peaks, those emotional buyer peaks, that you can key in on for events that can look after that and move the needle, move the yardsticks and get a first down all the way through. A brilliant idea on the referral program, Ryan. Absolutely. So like one last question for you, if I could. What are a few, and I know you can't share all your secret sauce on a podcast, but what are a few of the keys you yourself have used to create a $30 million business in existing customer revenue in 3.5 years, albeit on a shoestring budget, Ryan? Like, what are a few of the keys that you use to accomplish this amazing growth and success?
Yeah, so it's a great question, and it's one of those things that, you know, when I had the team, we just, it was interesting because I see companies fall in this trap where they get so enamored with net new customer acquisition and they forget about, just like with referrals, they forget about all the opportunity that exists within their base, right? And I've made this mistake before as well, so I don't want to say like I'm immune to it, but you know, what we did that worked really well is as we started to grow, we had, you know, a hyper intentionality about it everywhere from the way the comp plan was designed down to planning accountability and ownership of the team for them to present like the essential additional revenue or expansion revenue they were going to get at the beginning of every year down to the quarter and customer, right? And so we even went down, I mean, we would cycle out accounts if reps didn't have enough time to focus on it. I mean, we got drilled down to very, very specific areas. So I would say that's one, like setting the team up to win by making it a priority at the executive level. And then I don't want to say forcing focus, but refining focus so that it's something that they work on continuously, right? The second aspect that I would say is like, and it's really interesting, like customer success people, and there's a wide range of them, but by nature, what I've seen is they want to take care of the customer, right? Which is what their job is. And so they're not as aggressive or as focused on sales and revenue driving as you would the sales team, right? Just by nature of how it's designed. And so one of the things that we did is we were constantly working with the customer success team and the sales team in tandem, I should say, so that it was really a coordinated rhythm of increasing that revenue while also essentially having a secondary sales process. And so what I mean by that is you'll see that folks have like a quarterly review or something like that set up, but they haven't really, really intentionally orchestrated the exact secondary sales process to expand that revenue. And the beautiful thing about it is when you do that, it drives referrals, it drives testimonials, and it actually makes the customer happier because you're so in tune with what their next problem is and solving their existing problems. It creates a better overall experience, which creates more revenue and more referrals. So I don't know if that helps, but that's basically, you know, kind of how we orchestrate it. One is on the strategic planning. Two is on the management piece. And then three is on the, you know, the process side of the team executing it consistently.
I love how you framed that. It truly, like it, we all need in sales some kind of balance between hunting and farming, right? I mean, there has to be that, but too many companies overly focus on the hunting only and just think we got them, they won't leave us. You know, tick done and dusted, right? But wrong-o, right? We've got to need a rhythm, as you stated, for hunting on the farm to continue that problem solving for the existing customer base. And I will say, Ryan, like our very best prospects are our existing customers. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we've already got a trusted relationship there. How dare we ignore that, right? It was hard to win. Let's make sure we put that same effort into keeping them happy and growing the base. And then the fruit for our labors are the three sweetest R's in sales. First R is repeat business. You know, the second R is you can use them as a reference account, which is proof. Proof is the best sales tool. And the third R is referrals. They'll tell their friends. If we treat them properly, that will reduce our heavy lifting around prospecting because we're following up on referrals, which you so elegantly talked about a little earlier. So love what you're saying and how you do that, Ryan. Absolutely. Absolutely. So Ryan, listen, you've scratched the head of many of the folks listening to our podcast today. I know it's so folks, if you're driving, pull over before you write this down. I don't want you to get in an accident, but certainly, Ryan, how can our listeners reach out to get a hold of you if they want to access more of your information, some of your ideas, get a hold of you to talk about how you could help them? What's the best way for our listeners to reach out, Ryan?
Yeah, so I would say the best way to reach out is, I can give my email, ryan@whalesellingsystem.com. That's my personal email. At the same time, I produce content continuously on LinkedIn, as well as have a podcast called The Scale Up Show. So those are two ways on social. And what I did is I actually created a cheat sheet with all the AI prompts that will help you enable selling to any C-level executive in sales and marketing. And so basically, if you type in www.aiforrevenue.com/CC, that'll get you there. And it's a free tool that you have access to. And, I hope you take it up and enjoy it because it's got an amazing response. It went viral on LinkedIn and people have loved it from the feedback I've gotten that have used it. So
That's fantastic and very generous, Ryan. Thank you very, very much. Ryan, thank you for taking the time. Again, my guest today, Ryan Staley, the CEO and founder of Whale Boss in Chicago. Ryan, thank you for your time and amazing shares that you shared with our listeners today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate being on the show. It was a blast.
And thank you all for listening to Confessions of a Sales Pro.
If you have found this episode informative and helpful, we would be honored and appreciative if you would share this podcast with other great salespeople like yourself. And we look forward to you joining us for all new episodes weekly, every Thursday. Please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. If you'd like us to help you grow your sales commissions, visit us at salesmentoryou.com. Confessions of a Sales Pro. Lessons, more wins. With Ian Selby.